Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's great to see you all tonight. Wasn't last week's testimony of Olivia, wasn't that a powerful testimony? Amen. And next weekend we have the e-courses, E1 and 2, E1 on Friday. We talk basically about what salvation encompasses, everything that salvation is and how it impacts our lives. Salvation and what Jesus does at the cross is so much more than just eternal life, although that's the greatest miracle of all, amen? Then on Saturday morning, we go into the Holy Spirit and specifically the baptism of the Spirit, which is really awesome. And so I encourage you, if you've never been to one of those courses, please come out. And then next month we have E2 and 3, Friday and Saturday again. And then you've done them all. Amen. And that's wonderful. And so I really do highly encourage you. And then also next Sunday we have a baptism. So if you haven't been baptized, get baptized. Amen. It's so powerful. Baptism, water baptism is such a powerful, powerful thing. And so I believe Fabian and Lolly got married today, so we congratulate them. I don't know if, I'm pretty sure they, are they here? Yeah, they can't be, yeah, surely not. So anyway, we wish them all the best. I know they got married just a little while ago, so they're supposed to be on honeymoon. If they're church, that's very bad. All right. And we just wish them all the best. Wonderful to see what God is doing. And so tonight I'm going to share a short word, and then we'll see what the Lord wants to do. But this was actually very heavy on my heart last week, but I really wanted to push it out to this week because this will kind of line up for tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be continuing our series on who is the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be going really very heavily into what the Holy Spirit does through us. We've spoken about what the Holy Spirit does to us and who He is to us, and tomorrow we're going to talk about what He does through us. And so that's going to be great, but there's something that we need to just talk a little bit about this evening. You know, how many of you know that it's the blood of Jesus that washes us clean? It's the blood of Jesus that restores us. Amen. I mean, if it wasn't for the blood, I don't know what we would do. I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so grateful for what Jesus did. And I've seen so many times, you know, even in deliverances and stuff like that, when you just mention the blood of Jesus, even the demons get really upset. You know, because there's so much power in the blood. You know, but God wants us to have everything He has for us. God wants us to embrace the fullness of His promise and who He is and what He wants to do in our lives. God wants to be involved in everything you do. You know, I was talking to an individual during counseling this last week, and in fact, I had this conversation with several people. How over the last few weeks they've been really paying, you know, purposeful attention to being led by the Spirit, to being led by the Holy Spirit, and sort of listening to that inner voice. Remember, I spoke to you about how most of the time when we want to hear from God, we kind of look up, you know, and like, Lord, speak to me, when actually it should be, Lord, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. You know, and so there's no theological debate about that. The Holy Spirit was sent to be your comforter, to be your friend, to help you, to show you things, to teach you things, and to lead you. And the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law. In other words, your whole decision and thinking and walking with God is based on relationship and not on what you should and shouldn't do. He leads you into righteousness. He leads your paths into righteousness. Isn't it amazing? And so when you walk with Him, He begins to change everything for you. But it's interesting because in Matthew 3, verse number 11, this is a powerful statement that John the Baptist makes. He says, Matthew 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So you see, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is a powerful thing that we're going to talk about a little bit tomorrow and next week as well in the e-course. But he also makes this statement. He says that he, and the he here is Jesus, because this is John speaking about the Messiah. This is John speaking about Jesus. That there is one coming after him who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he says this, he says, and fire. And fire. And over the years, you know, serving the Lord, I have come to realize that the fire of God, the fire of the Spirit, the fire of the Savior, Jesus, is absolutely essential in the life of every single believer. We need His fire. We need His fire because the Bible talks about how that fire is like a purifying fire. It burns out the junk. It burns out the Bible says the, I think it's the dross, the garbage. It burns out the you know, all the evil stuff in us. It removes it. What it does as well is it causes us to deal with sin. The fire brings us into a place where we want to deal with sin. But many people really struggle with this because as they begin to serve God and walk with God, sometimes in the beginning of their walk, they're very, very fireful or full of fire. And I've even heard people say, oh, you know, he's just a new believer. Give him 6 months. Yo, that's what happened to you. 6 months and you lost your fire. And that's not good. You should never lose your fire, because when you lose your fire, you lose your passion. You lose your hunger. You lose your thirst. And as a pastor, this is something that I have to work very hard on in myself. I have to constantly make sure that I remain passionate and fervent and hungry for the things of God and for the presence of God. I have to make sure that I'm always desiring Him and stay passionate for Him, because if I lose the fire on my life, I lose everything. Then I just become, you know, just nothing without the fire. The fire of God also reveals the love of God to us in a tangible way. It actually reveals His love to us in a tangible way. Romans 5, verse number 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So He actually pours out His love to us in a tangible way. In other words, you can actually experience the love of God when the fire of God comes on you and begins to burn in your heart. It's a scripture that tells us when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, and the two disciples were with Him, and they described their encounter with Him. They said, did our hearts not burn within us as He opened up the scriptures to us? As Jesus began to share the word of God, the fire of God came upon those disciples and their hearts began to burn. The love of God began to be poured out in their hearts, and the fire of God came upon them and their eyes were opened. What they couldn't understand before, Jesus encountered them in that moment. All of a sudden they understood. All of a sudden He opened up the scriptures and that fire came upon them, and they were like, they ran to Jerusalem and they ran to the disciples and said, we've encountered Him, we've seen Him. And they were like, no, you haven't. That's what people do when they don't have the fire and you have the fire. They're like, well, what is that? Just calm down. You know, you're just being a little bit too fervent, a little bit too much zeal now. We don't want to see that, you know. Just maybe you'll do something radical for God. That would be bad. It's also very interesting, because one thing I've seen is that when someone is on fire for God, they always talk about Jesus. Like everywhere they go. Like that's that guy you don't want to take with you to Publix, you know. Because he's talking about Jesus all the time. And if you're honest with yourself and you think back to when you were on fire for God, when the fire of the Spirit of God was burning bright in your heart, that you were just like that. You wanted to share Jesus everywhere you went, because His love was poured out in you and you just couldn't help it, but you wanted to share it because it was so wonderful. But what happens when we begin to lose our fire is we don't want to talk about Him anymore. we stop talking about him. And our conversation begins to shift. It begins to change. What's important to us begins to change. And things of this world slowly but surely begin to have importance again. Begin to overwhelm and begin to take us in a direction sometimes that we not intentionally want to go in. But we kind of lose that intensity that we had for God. That intensity comes from the fire. Once you've encountered the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, once you've encountered that, you will always desire it. You will always go after it. It should never be something that you allow to just go and then just be like, well, that's okay. You should always have a desire for it. Once you've really, really been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and once you've really been baptized in that fire, it's like, man, it just changes everything. Everything shifts. Everything changes. Your relationship, your intimacy with God, everything goes to a whole different level. And the problem is when you're trying to serve God in any other way, it's awful. So the only thing we can do if we've lost our fire is get it back. We have to get it back. So I want to share with you from the scriptures a familiar story. But I really felt like the Holy Spirit wants me to share this with you. Because you see, what begins to happen to us is as we lose that fire, once that fire begins to diminish, what begins to happen is we begin to mix and things of this world become more important to us. And so we see a picture of this in the Old Testament. We see an excellent picture of this. In 1 Kings 18, verse 21, I have to confess, I do believe that Elijah is my favorite prophet when it comes to the works of God. When it comes to prophetic scripture, Isaiah is like the man. But when it comes to the works of the prophets, there was just something about this guy. There was something about him that was amazing. And I'll never forget when I went to Mount Carmel 2 years ago, and I was standing on Mount Carmel, and I went into this little garden. They have these little gardens, and I was standing at the garden. I was looking out over the valley of Armageddon. The whole valley's there. You can see where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place, and you stand on Mount Carmel. And I tell you what, you begin to pray, and the fire of God just comes down. I mean, it's like you can't even imagine. And you know, it's just, I began to pray, and I actually made even a little video of it. I'll never forget it. I began to pray, and I was just like, man, this was where Elijah prayed. This is where fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And so the children of Israel are beginning to lose their passion for God. You know, things began to happen in their walk where they began to grow a little bit cold. They began to lose their zeal, and they began to follow the things of this world again. And 1 Kings 18:21 says this, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people," listen to this, "answered him not a word." They chose to say nothing. And that's the way that it is with us. When will we make a decision to be all in? When will we make a decision to serve God completely? When will we make a decision to be crazy about Jesus? We're not worried about what people think or what people say, but rather we're worried about their salvation. Rather we're worried about their families, and we're worried about their eternity. Far more than worried about saying something about Jesus because they might get offended. And so they began to want to serve God, but they also wanted to serve Baal. And so this is the dilemma. This is the situation. And I want to jump from there. We're going to come back to that story. But I want to jump because I want to show you what I believe it is that causes that fire to go out more than anything in the life of a Christian. And Jesus tells us this. If we go to Mark 16, verse 14, this is what he says. Jesus appears to his disciples. And he says to them, later he appeared to the 11 and they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. This is right before he goes up to be with the Father. because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So after the resurrection, because things didn't work out the way they wanted, because things didn't work out the way they expected, their hearts had become hard and they were filled with unbelief. They denied Jesus. And so Jesus comes and he actually rebukes them because of this. He rebukes them. And he said to them, go into all the world. Now he's giving them a mandate. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Now watch. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Amen. So be it. This is what happened to the disciples once the Holy Spirit had come upon them. Once they'd been filled with zeal and fire and the Holy Spirit came upon them, they went out into the world and the signs of the kingdom of God were present with them everywhere they went. But they were in a place just before this happened, in a place that limits and stops the supernatural in your life, a place that quenches the fire of God, which is two things, unbelief and a hard heart. Unbelief and a hard heart. And here's the problem, is that the majority of the time when it comes to a hardened heart is that it's never an intentional thing. It's not like you say, oh Lord, make my hard heart. My heart hard. It's something that happens because as you walk with God, you're going to have disappointments. You're going to see things. People are going to let you down. You're going to feel sometimes like maybe you're going to feel like God let you down. Please make note, feel like he let you down. And in those moments, you get upset and your heart begins to slowly harden. Maybe you believed for a miracle and the miracle didn't happen. And all of a sudden, you begin to have a little bit of unbelief. You begin to feel like, well, you know, if that's what the Word of God says, but I'm not seeing it happen, maybe it's not real. So your unbelief and your hardened heart begins to increase. And what happens is it's like a slow fade, but it comes suddenly. So in other words, slowly but surely, your heart gets hard. Then something happens and someone comes against you. Or you get hurt in a church. Or something happens. Something happens and your heart gets a little harder. Somebody comes against you, your heart gets a little harder. An issue comes up, your heart gets a little harder. And as that begins to happen, so the fire that's in you slowly begins to go out. Because what happens is you begin to rely on the things of this world to comfort you. When Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to be your comforter. But unbelief and a hardened heart will cause the supernatural to fade. You will only be as spiritual as you want to be. I'm going to say that again. You will only be as spiritual as you want to be. The first limitation to becoming a spiritual being that God has called us to be, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1 and 2. He has told us that we should desire spiritual gifts to be spiritual. But if you don't desire it, you'll never be it. If you don't want it, how can you ever have it? So it has to be a desire. Hurt, sin, disappointment hardens our heart. And so you must understand, when it comes to the children of Israel, they've seen miracles, they've seen God move, they've seen God do things, but maybe things weren't working out the way they wanted it to. Maybe they were disappointed, maybe they weren't seeing the miracles the way they used to. Maybe they weren't seeing things the way that they expected them to be. Maybe somebody offended them. Maybe there were rulers and kings at that time that were having their way and they couldn't understand, if God is for us, how can this be happening? And so they began to slowly choose between God and Baal. Yes, they served God, but they also served Baal. And so there was only one thing left to do, and that was to see whose God is God. And so in 1 Kings verse 18, Elijah calls the people. And he says in 1 Kings 18, 22, then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers, look at this, by fire. He is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given to them and prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no answer. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them. This is why I like him, you see. And said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating or he is busy. And that means sitting on the toilet. It really does. In the Hebrew, that's what it means. Or he is on a journey. Or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. You know, I want you to understand something. We laugh because it is funny. But the truth is, all the solutions that we go to when we're struggling, they also respond the same way. They will not bring deliverance. They will not bring healing. They will not bring permanent satisfaction. You cannot take them with you into eternity. They are dead. Are you with me? So they cried out, verse number 28. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gashed out on them. So now they're even trying rituals to get the demons and the spirits to respond, to get something to begin to answer. But nothing happens. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come now to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired, listen to this. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seas of seeds. And he put the wood in order, cut of the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. So they took water and poured it on. I want you to imagine this, pouring water onto the sacrifice. Listen, he's making sure. I want you to know there's no magic tricks here, brother. This thing is wet. Verse 34, and he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trenches with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering. Everybody say, at the time of the offering. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." You know, it's interesting because when Jesus in Matthew 16 was with his disciples, this is long before he's crucified. He says to them, if you want to come and follow me, if you want to be a disciple, you must pick up your cross and follow me. We read that, and I'm saying it to you, and you don't get it. Jesus has not been crucified. This is long before his crucifixion, that he tells his disciples to pick up their cross and follow him. He knew that his life had to be a sacrifice, that the only way that the fire and the Holy Spirit would come upon them would be if he sacrificed his life, if he put his life on the altar, if he became a sacrifice. He knew that by doing that, fire would fall. And fire has continued to fall since the sacrifice that Jesus made on that altar. But the reality is that those words that Jesus said to his disciples ring true. And that is that you have to pick up your cross. That means that you have to get on the altar. You have to become a living sacrifice. In other words, you must choose what you want. Who is it that you want to serve? What are you going to do? And the only way that the fire falls is when you get on the altar. You have to get on the altar, surrender to God. And when you do that, when the sacrifice has been prepared, when the sacrifice has been prepared, I want you to know that fire will fall from heaven on your life once again. And you will once again be filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire and with passion and with zeal and with fervency and with desire once again. You see, the prophet understood that in order for the fire to fall, there first had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice that came from a pure heart. That's why he says, "Lord, I have done all that you have said for me to do." In other words, "Lord, I have been obedient to you. I have listened to you. I have chosen you. Where are all the other prophets? They're all gone, and there's these prophets of Baal, but I am left here, Lord. I'm left here, and I'm crying out to you, and I'm going to prepare the sacrifice." And the Bible tells us that he takes the 12 stones, and he begins to rebuild the altar. You see, that's what it takes in the life of a believer who's lost their fire, is they have to once again begin to rebuild the altars of sacrifice in their own life. Yeah, I know this isn't popular. It doesn't matter. You see, Leviticus 6, verse number 12 says this, "And the fire fell on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings." You see, when there's a sacrifice, there's a fire that comes. Yes, Jesus has paid for your sins. I'm not talking about that now. That's why he said to them, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you have to pick up your cross. If you don't pick up your cross, if you waver between two gods, the world and God, you will lose your fire. And the only way back to that fire is to rebuild that altar. Is to rebuild that altar and say, "Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. My life belongs to you. I want to serve you. I choose you." There might be things that feel comfortable, decisions that you have to make that feel comfortable, but you know that's not what God wants for you. So choose him. Give your heart to him. Give your life to him again. Cry out to him again, and the fire will fall. God said to me last week on a Saturday morning prayer meeting, the Lord said to me very clearly, if there's no fire, there's no change. Without the fire, there's no change. Have you ever seen something burn? It doesn't look the same afterwards, brother. it's completely changed. When it's burnt, when the fire burns everything, everything is burnt out. All the garbage, all the rubbish, all the sin, everything, it's burnt out. That's why you have to seek the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to pursue the Lord God with all of your heart. And when you begin to do that, the fire falls. The fire falls from heaven. I don't know about you, but I desire to be like Elijah on that day and make a decision and say, Lord God, here I am. I'm preparing the altar. Lord, I have chosen to be that one that says, Lord, I'm doing it all according to your word. I'm desiring to follow you. I'm choosing your ways. I'm choosing your morals. I'm choosing your standards. I'm choosing your word, Father. I'm choosing your spirit, Lord. I'm choosing you, Father. And as you begin to build that altar, everything is prepared. And all you have to do is say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And as you do that, I want you to know the fire of God will fall from heaven onto your life, and it will change you. It will change everything. It will burn out everything. Listen, I'm so sick and tired of preaching. I just want to see the fire fall. I just want to see His presence fall. I want to see His lives changed, people delivered, people healed, not by the words of wisdom and man, but by the power of God. By the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.